You are listening to Critical End, episode 55.
The episode that was raised in a barn by a couple of nerds.
What's this guy's name? Vincenzo Natale. You've liked him a long time, right?
Yes. I say Natale. Can we like it's a fine wine of some sort?
Okay. Vincenzo Natale-leaves.
Natale-leaves. Yes. He related to Mr. Nesty, who you might know.
Yes.
Yes. Wait, how'd you say it again?
I said Natale, but is it? It's Natale. Natali, isn't it? Or no?
See, I want to stick by my claim that he was French until I read that he was actually born in Michigan, which might make him slightly more American than me.
Yeah, because you were born in France, so.
That's right, exactly. My real last name is Natale.
Yes, it's Natale. Natale. Or Natale, perhaps Natale.
Okay, cool. We'll say Mr. Natty.
All right. So old Natty.
Yes, old Natty. No, I've been a fan for a long time. I actually am one of the few people that saw Cube in theaters, Ryan.
Uh-huh.
It's playing at Art House. Come back to Nashville that has a lot. Come back to the war, right?
I imagine you in, like, your Buddy Holly glasses and your curly hair, like...
just strolling the streets of Nashville.
Black turtleneck.
Basically, I was reading one of the like, arty hipster papers back in the day. I guess before hipsters even existed. That was talking about what was playing at the cool Art House Theater, which you've been to me... to before Nashville with me several times.
Which theater?
One of my favorite, the Belcourt Nashville.
Yes, of course.
My favorite films
Napoleon
we saw
Dynamite.
There was the... No, we did not see Napoleon Dynamite there.
Didn't we?
No, that was the Green Hills Cinema.
Oh.
Which also has become... That was before that was even built, but that one has become sort of like a new art house. But the Belcourt is independently owned and everything, while Green Hills is a Regal.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, no, the Belcourt, one of the best film experiences we had there was actually seeing Godzilla, the original Godzilla... with subtitles. You remember this?
Oh, yeah.
No Dr. Steve Martin or anything like that. And beforehand, they had not a Godzilla expert, but a Japanese expert stand up and talk about the influence it had on the culture and all that. Anyway, all that was super cool.
And nobody could understand a word he was saying.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, turn it down!
Foreign!
I'm trying to avoid anything racist here.
Oh, yeah.
But no. So I went there and I saw Cube, and I was like, you know, this is a really cool little movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I only had a few complaints about Cube, which we'll get to, because it actually relates to Splice in a way, right?
Okay, now I haven't seen Cube, sadly. I tried to see it before this podcast, but I couldn't get a hold of it.
I still think Cube is a great film, especially when you look at, he was, like, pretty much fresh out of film school. And basically all he had was one set to work with, and it really is a movie that takes place completely in one room. Basically, imagine a room, Ryan, with a door on every wall and a door on the ceiling and a door on the floor.
I'm imagining it.
And any door you go into leads you to a room that looks exactly like that one. It's just colored differently.
Wait, is this like that scene in Rocky Horror with the two bedrooms?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Then yes, I
understand. In every room, Tim Curry comes in and rapes you and tells you that you like it.
In a different wig and glasses.
In a different wig, yes. But so that's basically what Cube is. And some rooms have traps and some don't. It's basically, how do we get out of this trap?
Right.
Like this cube, and what does it all mean even? And most of that is explained, and it goes in directions you'd never guess. And it's a really cool film, very much kind of like a Twilight Zone episode in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And then several years later, I picked up this article that was about the film Nothing, and he was talking about how he had made a film in between Cube and Nothing, which was a sort of a big budget. He made it through Miramax, actually.
Okay.
And it didn't quite turn out the way he wanted it to, so he wanted to go back to his roots, and he was trying to figure out how to do it. And he's talking to his old friends, Andrew Miller and David Hewlett, who were both in Cube, and Cypher, the second film that I hadn't seen at the time. And they all decided, and they, David Hewlett and Andrew Miller had been roommates in college as well, which kind of added to the atmosphere of Nothing, which they decided would take place mostly on a wide screen. And so I eventually got around to seeing that, and it is a even better movie, I thought. So much that I've added it to like my top five films of all time. It's one of those films I always tend to show people.
Wow.
It's completely unlike any movie you've ever seen. I think you might agree with that.
Oh, I totally do. It's a fantastic movie, especially from a visual perspective and also from a story perspective.
Exactly, and it goes in directions you never ever guess. I just remember when it like reached the end, sort of Act Three of nothing. I was sitting there, I was watching a view, and this was the first time I'd seen it, and I was just thinking, like, wow, I never would have thought the movie would end up here, of all places. And it's one of those super odd endings, and yet at the same time, you're really laughing, you're really into it, and it's a great time.
Well, the stinger at that movie is also great.
Like, yes,
there's
right.
explanation of what's going on at all. Yeah.
And so it's been a few years now, and he's gotten around to Splice, which is his first real big studio movie, Ryan. It's gotten a big release. It has actual stars in it, really. Not that Cypher did, because Cypher had Lucy Liu and Jeremy Northam, I think is his name.
Okay.
Which I got around. Okay, we'll just go ahead and do his first films first. I got around to watching that for the first time in anticipation for Splice. Mm-hmm. It's a great movie. It only suffers from one thing, which is the same thing I cut off for Cube. But we'll get to that in a minute.
Well, what's Cypher about?
Cypher is a really cool film, and the less you know about it, the better, Ryan. Basically, this guy, Jeremy Northam, is hired to spy on a rival company, right?
Okay.
And they're like, okay, basically, we just need you to go undercover to their conventions, and we'll give you this pin. And when the guy starts talking, all you have to do is click your pin, and it'll record everything sent to our satellite, and we'll get all the information. Mm-hmm. And it's really shot in the sort of like a film noir type way. But then the movie goes in all sorts of directions you wouldn't even, like, you wouldn't guess. Which is, he's, okay, I guess that's
sounds
one
like
thing
a theme, yeah.
He's great for, yeah, I did not think he had any themes, but now I'm kind of pulling this out. Basically, Lucy Liu shows up, and she says, the job you're doing is not what you think you're doing. Mm-hmm. And the movie goes in directions from there, which I will not give away. Especially early on, the movie is really, really cool, and really cool and twisty, and you want to know where it's going. But towards the end, it sort of falls apart, but I still enjoyed it overall enough to give it a 7.
Okay.
Which at the time was the lowest of the ratings I'd given one of his movies.
Foreshadowing.
I don't. That's why I give Splice a 1700.
Now that's not what I expected.
So Splice comes out. It's one I had been reading about for a while, and I'd actually forgotten I read about it until I saw the trailer pop. I was like, oh yeah, this movie's actually coming out. And it seems like it was doing really well. It played well at some festivals. Some critics loved it. I saw Ebert liked it a lot. Entertainment Weekly gave it an A-, which is almost unheard of for them.
Yeah.
And critics were loving it. Meanwhile, I started reading some user reviews online, and people weren't that into it. Mm-hmm. They were talking about how it wasn't the movie that was being promoted, and how there were actually some people who walked out, et cetera, et cetera. So what do we think here, then?
Well, let's. Do you want to say what Splice?
Yeah, I guess we should talk about what Splice is about up to the point that the trailer.
Yeah. So Splice is essentially about two genetic scientists, Adrian Brody, and I don't know the other girl's name, but I do have it.
Sarah Pauly, I think
Sarah
is her name.
Sarah Pauly, thank you.
I think most of us will remember her from the excellent Zack Snyder Dawn of the Dead remake.
Oh yeah, I didn't forget about that. Okay.
Oh, Zack Snyder's side note, right?
Okay.
So he does Dawn of the Dead, which
is
awesome. And it's a snide note.
Okay.
It's awesome. It's visually awesome, right? So he does Watchmen, which is, it didn't quite click for me or some other people, too. But you have to agree, like, he's a very good visual director, okay? Uh-huh. Yeah? So why is he doing an animated CG kids movie now about owls?
Because he wants to do the most dynamic owly movie ever. Logan.
He got the most owly movie ever? He got I think the Ally Sheedy movies was the most dynamic
That's
owly.
That's the
movie.
Most owly, yeah.
No. It's weird though for him because he's known for his like over the top stylized gore and all that, and see him doing this kid movie about talking owls is a little weird. Anyway, thus ends my side note.
He
Go ahead.
Robert Rodriguez disease.
Oh, that God. That's
probably what happened.
That doesn't always pan out so well.
No. But anyway, so these two scientists, they have succeeded in creating some cool genetic like new life forms essentially. Out of DNA from other animals and things. So now the next step is to actually see what happens when you add human DNA to the mix. But of course, the government and the people who are like paying for everything are like, let's not do that so much because that's going to be really controversial. And
David Natili's good luck charm as a director, David Hewlett, shows up as the boss,
right?
Who's been in every single one of his movies, yeah.
Right.
So that's like, not as funny in this one, though.
No, this is more of a serious part. But anyway, he's like, so we're not going to do that. And they're like, well, then we won't do that until we actually do it secretly by going to the basement. Which somehow,
and
I guess...
And I was like, doo-doo.
Yeah, exactly. Somehow, I guess nobody checks the basement of this place. Like, they have, like, this research team of, like, 30 people, including the boss who's supposed to be watching them, and, like, they're just allowed to, like, spend all their time in the basement. But anyway,
yes.
So in the basement, they actually do combine the DNA with the human DNA, and they create this new little thing, which starts out as this weird alien facehugger-looking thing, but eventually, as it grows a little bit, starts looking more and more like a human child, and looks more and more human as it grows up, and they have to try to figure out what to do with it, hide it, try to take care of it, and it sort of ties into a story I won't go into much, but an interesting little backstory with... These two scientists are married. I should have said that up front.
Right, yeah. It ties into what they were actually supposed to be working on the whole time.
Right, and also with the backstory of the woman, who has some weird issues, some weird parenting issues in her past,
yes,
that are now going to come out in this pseudo-child that they have created together with science. And it's being billed as sort of a horror thriller along the line of Species, which is actually kind of a mistake because most people I talked to were like, it just looks like Species, I'm not going to see that. It's not that. It's not really a horror movie so much. It's more of just an interesting character study / occasional suspense kind of movie.
Yeah, and it gets into ethical issues, too, without being preachy at all.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
Right, that's kind of the intelligence side of what you're seeing here. I think that works for it as well.
Yeah.
I think the fact that it's not just this straight-out like horror show works for it, too.
Yeah. But it's certainly not the thriller that is being advertised in trailers.
Right. In fact, nothing really happens in this movie until almost the end of the third act.
Exactly. It's a slow burn.
Yes, it really is.
So what did you think?
This was maybe one of the first movies we've done this year that I was super excited about. Knowing all of his past works and rewatching them all going in. To be honest, I don't know what I expected, but I expected to like it instantly, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't quite end up there. I don't know. I think everyone does a great job in the movie. And the creature itself later on looks cool and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They give away a little too much in the trailer, but not enough to really, I think, ruin the big twist of the movie.
Right.
The movie. A few things, though, that didn't quite work out. We talked about how the trailer kind of set up to be this great, like, thrill ride and all that, and it's not quite that. But I think the movie could have worked slightly better, more of that, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe have it get loose a little earlier on in the film and have them run around trying to solve it. Instead, when it gets loose, it just instantly starts killing the characters we've learned about through the movie, and then there's no more about that. It's just like, they're dead, now let's just keep moving on. And, oh, end credits.
Yeah, I mean, that literally is the last 20, 10, that's the last 15 exactly. minutes of the movie, really.
Right, right. Not to say it's not good, but it's actually good enough where it warrants more of it. I want to see more of it.
Yeah.
But the biggest, not the biggest flaw here, there's that. Another big flaw is, the name of the company is Core Effects, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's used them for all four of his films, and I just don't think they're that good. When it's the human CG mix in the movie, it looks great, I think, but whenever it's just plain CG, I think this movie suffers. That's the same thing I came off with Cube, especially Cypher. I know he must like the people who work there or something to use them for all four of his movies. And for what it's worth, they did a great job with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a movie like this, when you have a huge Hollywood cast, a Hollywood cast maybe is what I should say, an Oscar nominee in there too, and someone like Joel Silver, Doc Castle, Warner Brothers behind you, you should be able to fork over some great money for this. But it seems like they all went cheap. And he stuck with the company he knew.
Weren't the N and the B of K&B involved in this, though, too?
They were involved with the physical effects, which looked great.
Yeah, those were always good. By the way, did I ever tell you I solved that mystery?
So we had K&B.
K&B, yeah. And every time I see a movie with effects now, it always says, Greg Nicotero and what's-his-name, Berger, did the effects. But
we talked about Where'd K Go?
Where'd K Go? He's a director now. He split off to do his own thing. So
I seen anything? I feel like I have.
He's done a few things you've heard of, but I forget that they're not coming to mind. There wasn't anything exciting, really.
Is it Kurtzman?
No, it was one of the Wishmaster movies. So
Yeah, you're right. Something we've seen, but not excited about.
Yeah.
It was actually Wishmaster 5. For the love of God, stop wishing.
Yeah, exactly. Our favorite one. So he went off to be a director producer, and that's why. But what doesn't make any sense to me is that why don't N and B come up with a better production company name now? Like, it's just always them. Maybe it really is just them.
It's not. Yeah, it's just their names. It's not even really a company name.
Yeah,
it's just effects by this guy and this guy. Yeah, you're right. You think they would. I'm sure they have, little underlings that work for them and everything.
Oh, sure.
And I thought they've all, even by themselves, they do a great job.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. I like that part of the film. It's just, I don't know, a lot of it early on with the, Ginger and Fred as well.
Look kind of bad.
Like, it looked bad. And then they showed the actual, puppet they made, and that looked awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Ginger and Fred being the two little proto-life forms they created at the beginning of the movie as a proof of concept.
Right, something they're supposed to be doing for their job.
Yeah.
There's just a few other things, too. Even some of the creature effects with Drin didn't look so great. But every time it was, like, the human mix, you know, he tried to shoot it mostly up, so we just saw the physical human, including, like, a real little girl, and then the real older lady, who's some French actress, who's getting a lot of publicity right now for this movie.
Who I kept wondering, are they doing that with CG, or are her eyes really that far apart? I think they really are that far apart.
You can actually go online and look at pictures of her. It's all over IMDb, of course. But it's something interesting. It was CG and a mask. They had a mask that actually only shows the edges of her eyes as further out as possible, and the extreme right and the extreme left, I guess is what I'm trying to say, of her face.
Yeah.
And then they stretched it with CG to give that slight, like, elongated effect.
Gotcha.
And that looked cool. That part of the face looked good, too. But it's just, I don't know, the effects early on looked bad. I don't want to harp on the effects. They weren't that incredibly bad.
No, I don't think it was
distractingly
bad.
I just expected more for this type of movie with him.
In fact, I didn't even remember bad effects until you mentioned Fred and Ginger. Yeah, those were kind of bad. But most of the stuff with Dren, the main stuff, was fine with me. Dren being the name of the
Oh, yeah, and Del Toro showed up as a producer for this movie.
Really?
Can you have, like, a cameo producer? Did you see that? What a weird credit. I was like, what? It seems like his name should be all over the poster. I feel like that'd get people in theaters more.
That is weird. I saw them, like, I saw the two of them at some premiere. I didn't know he was actually a producer. But,
yeah.
Anyway, Logan, so I kind of agree with you. I think that a lot of the cool, like, make-you-think moments were kind of good, except I don't think that they really delivered at the end. I think that there's an interesting sort of story about the way... The female scientist, Elsa, is sort of obsessed with children but doesn't want to have one of her own, and that's sort of why they kind of go into this whole thing, why she's really into it, creating a kid, kind of. And there's some interesting stuff there, but I don't feel like it resolves fully. I mean, the end just seems like a shock ending versus actually an ending that kind of puts a period on the whole story, you know?
Yes, especially her backstory is never resolved, I felt.
No, I would like to have known more.
Exactly, especially if they're going to take us to, like, the farm she grew up on. You feel like they're going to get around to that. You know, it's one of those things where the character finds a picture, and that leads to a story or something like that.
Right.
But there's never anything like that in the movie. The movie spends most of the second, third act just about Drin, which I guess is what I paid to see, but at the same time, I want more from the characters.
Yeah, I wonder if anything was cut along those lines.
This guy, I own all of his movies now, and this is one that I would not actually buy. Unless there's something to make me do so, like a director's cut shows up or something like that.
Yeah, I'd be interested.
Which, who knows, there might be.
And also, the thing that took probably the most points off for me is it just gets kind of silly towards the end with a particular plot twist that just seems completely contrived and silly to me. I guess I can't really detail it much, but...
I think the very end of the movie kind of puts a twist back on track in a smart way, because if you think back to earlier on in the movie, there's something else that could be happening here. That kind of, when we left, we were discussing this, and if it's a movie that calls for discussion in like a, well, is it this or is it that type way, that tells me that the movie's somewhat smart and that the movie is somewhat effective because of that. And so I kind of like that side of the film, and because I kind of jumped my rating up a little higher than I thought I should. But at the same time, I was mostly disappointed in this film.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say disappointed. In fact, I kind of went back and forth between a 6 and a 7.
I did the exact same thing, and I kept everyone I was with at the time completely in the loop, too. I was like, no, I'm thinking a 7. No, I think a 6 now.
Yeah, in fact, I didn't rate this for, like, 3 days. I let it sit before I actually decided. But ultimately, I was thinking, like, you know, I wouldn't want to see this movie again. I didn't feel like it delivered so much on its premise. I feel like it really needed to be... I feel like it seemed like a script that needed, like, a second pass, so I kind of settled on a 6. Even though I still enjoyed it, but, you know.
Well, we were in the exact same boat. I went back and forth to 6 or 7. I actually said... I saw this the day before we did the podcast, and I said, well, I'll let it sit until then, and right before the podcast, I'll try and decide what I really thought. But later on that day, I was like, well... And it was kind of... It's kind of what you just said. Later on the day, I was like, well, you know, I can't see myself really sitting through that movie again. So I ended up on a 6 as well.
And I'd like to go into more detail, but the only things that actually happen in this movie happen at the end. I don't want to give them too much away.
And I think they're kind of fun twists as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's some stuff to be had there.
It's not worth, you know, spoiler ducking and arguing about for any reason at all.
No.
But it might be worth you sitting through at some point if you, you know, Netflix perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of movie where... If you were just seeing it alone, if you're seeing it on its own, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. If you were seeing it in the context of the rest of his movies, maybe it would be worth seeing. I don't know. You're the only one who's done that, so.
Right. Something interesting, though, right? Here you go. All of his movies have had one-word titles. Okay. Yeah, I think we might have discussed that before in the show. They're all in alphabetical order as well.
Hmm.
Including Cube, Cypher, Nothing, Splice.
His next movie is going to be an X-Men movie.
It better be. No, it better not be.
I'd like that. He could probably do a great X-Men movie.
I think he'd do an awesome X-Men movie. I take that back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. He's co-written most of his films, too, so I don't know if that was on purpose at all. I'm sure someone's pointed it out to him, but I thought that was a little funny.
That's cool.
Side note thing there.
Yeah.
Oh, so you don't think you'll end up buying this on DVD then, Ryan?
No, I don't think so. I'd probably, if it was on TV again, I'd watch it. No, I mean, like, if they did a director's cut, I'd be interested in renting it.
Yeah, okay, so speaking of interesting director's cuts.
Okay.
This is a movie that we've reviewed on the show before. And I think you have no interest in seeing it again, but I'm going to try and talk you in quickly into seeing it, okay?
Okay.
Two great films have come out. One really great film and one just so-so film that have come out on DVD Blu-ray recently, okay, Ryan?
Okay.
We discussed this movie. We did a full show about it. On the show, unless it was cut for some reason, which I don't think it was, we talked about how there would most likely be a director's cut because the director in no way got his what he wanted on this film. And he actually talked about it several times, and he did several reviews where he's like, that's not the movie I intended to make. It's the studio just released their own film. The Wolfman with Anthony Hopkins.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen it, but there is a director's cut now. The DVD Blu-ray comes with both versions of the film. And after watching the director's cut, I don't see how any studio in their right mind could not want to release that movie.
Is it really that much different?
It really is that much different. There's tons of extra scenes. There's actually a few flaws now with the scenes because I guess he didn't get to go do the coverage he wanted for the rest of his stuff. Mm-hmm. If you remember, just side stuff. Okay. First off, you know, he got the letter in the theatrical version of the movie that told him, you know, this is what's happening. You need to come back now to home, right?
Okay.
That never actually happens in the director's cut of the movie. He meets up with the Emily Blunt character early on. And she says, well, this is going on. My fiancé died, and it'd be nice if you could come home and try and solve this for me.
Yep.
So he ends up going home, and when he gets there to his dad, played by Anthony Hopkins, he starts talking about the letter he got. So I guess he didn't get to shoot the coverage where he did not talk about the letter. I don't know. That was a bit weird in the director's cut.
Right.
But at the same time, you could have written it off as him being sarcastic. It's like, well, Dad, you didn't write me a letter, you know, even though you should have.
You have to assume that every bit of dialogue is ironic, but it's a really good director.
Yeah, No. Stick with me here, Ryan, okay? Because there's one reason that this movie should have been released in theaters. You ready for this?
Okay.
I don't know who in their right mind, I guess it's like Hollywood thinking that people don't care about old people anymore, but who in their right mind would cut Max von Sydow from a film, Ryan?
Whoa.
Yes, exactly. He's the guy who gives him the cane. Remember when how he carries around the cane from the first film, mm-hmm. from the original film from mm-hmm. the 40s? And this great cameo scene that's completely unbilled, but it totally should have been kept in the movie.
Okay, well, Max von Sydow.
Very mysterious. Well, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, who would cut this? What would happen here, Hollywood?
Seriously.
But no, there's enough backstory, I think, to warrant more of the character's motivations and stuff. If not, I think it's just a fun film overall, like I said before.
Is the ending different?
But possibly worth checking out. No, it has an alternate ending on there. But he shot, like, four different endings, and that was really just whichever one tested the best, I think.
Mm. Well,
if you're looking for gore, there's not too much extra gore. I think there's one scene, but, yeah, there's a bunch of great scenes early on. Most of it's boring stuff. If you wanted the faster-paced movie, then watch the theatrical version.
I'm mostly inclined to just look up the Max von Sydow scene on YouTube, to be honest with you.
Oh, it's pretty cool.
Okay.
But no, it's, you know, it works best in context of the film.
All right.
But you can't really judge the film on its director's cut so much. You know, the film's already come and gone now. I don't think you'd even bother seeing the director's cut if you didn't like the film in theaters.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Ryan.
Okay.
One of my favorite films of all time, one of the few films that have ever gotten a 10 from me, just came out on Blu-ray for the first time this last week.
Yes. Tens, eh? Is Chevy Chase in it?
Yes.
Is it Christmas Vacation?
No!
It's been on Blu-ray a while, right?
Yeah.
Is it Fletch?
No! That's on Blu-ray as well.
It's probably not a 10 either. Is Fletch a 10 for you?
No. The Christmas Vacation wasn't either.
It can't be Caddyshack.
Yes, it can be.
It really is? Well, I thought that must have been on Blu-ray already.
No, Caddyshack just came out on Blu-ray along with for its 30th anniversary. It's a 30th anniversary edition of Caddyshack, right?
Okay.
Ryan?
Okay.
30 years old. Can you believe that, first of all? Who knew?
Yeah.
Second of all, it just came out on DVD as well. Now then, Warner Brothers, they start doing this the first time. They started doing this the first time around with Terminator Salvation.
Okay.
I'm sure too many people didn't care so much about that. But what they did with Terminator Salvation is Warner Brothers said, hey, if you want to see the cool director's cut of the theaters that McGee always talked about, you got to buy the Blu-ray. Sorry, suckers. The DVD doesn't even have scene selection. Suckers. So I was like, oh, thanks, Warner Brothers. Oh,
they're like,
whatever.
Suckers.
You know, gotta go. And they've kind of pulled out of Caddyshack, Ryan.
Okay.
Now, they have released... It's funny, because they at the same day, Tuesday, I think, this last Tuesday, they released it on Blu-ray and DVD. So, like, here's the 30th anniversary Blu-ray and the 30th anniversary DVD. Now then, the 30th anniversary DVD has the exact same features ever on my 20th edition. 20th
I'm
anniversary.
Noticing that.
Yes, now. The 30th, what does it have, you ask? A full-length being 80-minute, documentary featuring the cast and crew talking about the film and, you know, 30 years of the film and whatnot. Who does not want to see that? Does that sound super awesome? Ryan, there's no about it. This is Caddyshack.
No, wait a minute.
Seriously. If it's anything that made me want to buy like a Blu-ray player, this is it right here. So this is a really cool special feature.
So what I have here is the inside story, comprehensive feature-length 30th anniversary documentary with movies, cast, and creators.
Yes.
So, documentary, what does that mean? Is it interviews?
Now, okay, wait, hold on, no. There's more to this, okay?
Okay.
So I started looking into this, right? I put a little Snoop Sisters on this. I snuck into Warner Brothers one night.
Right.
It's me and Daffy. No, basically, what a show that'd be.
you and Daffy Duck.
I left a note on like the executive's refrigerator. I'm like, make more Joe Dante movies.
He's like, oh, I guess I must have.
Because I
to
made
do
that
this.
Note in the middle of the night. Sign Logan, huh? okay, a few interesting things about this. One, this is actually the documentary that was made for the Biography Channel.
Okay.
Months back. I forget how many months back exactly. I want to say like 3 or 4.
Okay.
I don't know if it was actually commissioned by Warner Bros. To end up on the Blu-ray or what. So this is technically something a lot of people have already seen. I could possibly actually go online and find it and watch it that way if I really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing new. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
Two, it has all the awesomeness in it. Like, everyone you could ever want, including Bill Murray, shows up for this.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Is he also, once again, going to say how he could play Carl Spackler forever and be happy, even though he didn't do the sequel?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Right. No, I'm sure he's going to talk about that and how like he, you know, he's pretty much the reason why the movie was so awesome.
Right.
And how everyone loves him so much because he's so cool. And that he probably deserved an Oscar for it. And
he's actually trying to get an Oscar for this documentary.
Yeah, and the whole time he'll be wearing a Garfield costume as well.
Right.
Okay, now here's where things get really weird, okay, Ryan?
Okay.
Now then, let me know when you get bored about this.
No,
okay?
I'm actually on the edge of my seat. I'm just waiting for, because I can tell that the other shoe's going to drop here.
I did some further research on this.
Okay.
Now then, when,
you know how I could tell? Because of all the now thens.
Yeah, hold on, wait. It's getting more and more detailed. I feel like we're going up a floor every single time.
Okay, now then.
Warner Brothers has an exclusive deal with Target, the store, okay? This deal with now then. This is sorry, I almost forgot that one. This deal with Target is that they will do a special DVD release that has almost all the same features. It doesn't have any like the live internet features, but it has almost all the same features as the Blu-ray. This is how I ended up getting the director's cut of Terminator Salvation on DVD.
Okay.
I had to go to Target exclusively. This is all killing me, in case you can't tell. And buy it. And you had to do it before like they sold out because they never get it ever again, right?
Right.
This isn't something that's, you know, they press like this certain number. It's not something that's always in print. In
right.
Words. So then, is this going to happen? That was a so then. Did that throw you off?
No. I was. That means that we're coming to the conclusion.
Oh, okay. So then. I got to try and come up with something satisfying now for the conclusion. I called Chevy Chase, right?
Whoa.
No. Basically, how this ends is that no one knows for sure because they didn't advertise it. And I guess I could figure it out if I just go to Target, which I don't have a car, so I can't do that so much. I'm going to hitchhike to Target.
You don't have a car still?
No, I still don't have a car. Anyway, did Target release this exclusive edition? Some places online say yes, some places online say no. I can't find an exact source where some guy's just like, I bought this version. Uh-huh. At Target, and then had it on it. All of it, it's listed on Amazon. All of it, the new 30th anniversary DVD is listed on Amazon. If you look at the Blu-ray, though, everything about, you know, it lists all special features. It says this new 30th anniversary documentary. It says Blu-ray exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know at this point. It's all up in the air and confused.
So it sounds like you need to start staking out Targets.
Oh, I'm going to hit one up in the next few days. I'll get back to you about this.
Okay.
But this, if not, this is the movie that could make me want to buy a Blu-ray player.
Well, that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, no, that's their plan exactly. You and I talked about this with Terminator. Mm-hmm. It's a really, it's kind of sleazy when you talk, when you think about it. Like, I've always been okay with like missing out on one or two special features, but when you start throwing like feature-length documentaries and whole different versions of the movie on there, you know, I feel like I'm really missing out on something.
I mean, it would be one thing if they were like, well, because Blu-ray has so much more storage, we can fit a bunch of extra stuff on there, so sorry. But it's not another thing entirely if they're like, oh, we can put it on there, we're just not going to.
Exactly. And I'm sure, you know, most DVDs now come with that extra bonus disc, which is just the digital copy of the movie.
Yeah.
It's like, so why don't they just make an extra bonus disc with that documentary on it then?
Right.
If that's the problem. And it's funny, because most Blu-ray nows are coming, like, in two or three disc sets. I'm like, that's not the point of Blu-ray. The
I wouldn't say most.
It's on there, all there.
I've seen like, some of that.
Nearly, like, I'd say, I'll go as far as say 80% of DVDs, or of Blu-rays now come with a digital copy of the film.
No, but that has to be a separate disc, because that's like a different...
No, yeah, don't get me wrong on that, but I don't see if that's so important at all to them.
Okay, well, no, I mean, I agree, although I totally put Drag Me to Hell on my iPhone for no reason.
Which isn't really awesome.
Because I had it, and it's awesome. every morning I wake up, and I play my... just the part where Justin Long stares into the camera at the very last scene. That's just the best. Actually, that's my ringtone now, just Justin Long staring. I can hear him staring, and I answer the phone.
Yeah, you can hear him staring, yeah. Uh-huh. It was that awesome of a stare.
It was. Anyway, so okay, so it sounds like Target is somehow in the pocket of... who's this? Warner Brothers?
This leads further into different things, Ryan. This is... remember how everyone made a big stink about it when the Weinstein Company... made that exclusive deal with Blockbuster.
Yeah.
And there were actually lawsuits filed saying this is illegal, you can't do that, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Well, somehow everyone got in bed of everyone after that, and no one cared. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, there's that big deal of Netflix and Redbox mm-hmm. have gotten together to sue, I think, Warner Brothers and someone else, saying, like, oh, well, you can't do exclusives to them and not give us the movie until 2 months afterwards or whatever.
Right.
It's gotten pretty extreme. And so now... everyone's just in bed of everybody. You know, Warner Brothers has said, hey, Target, if you want this, you know, we'll sign up here, and, you know, we'll give you all the money for it and everything. It's just, it's kind of sad, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it's unfair trade practices. You can't just decide to arbitrarily not provide your product to a particular outlet. It's not...
but they usually pull it on people who are a little more, or an audience, the type of audience that's a little more unexpected and not, like, as nerdy as us to look up every possible angle.
Right.
They're pulling on with the Twilight films a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Like, every new version, I think that was New Moon, the last one that came out. Mm-hmm. I remember flipping through the paper that day it came out, and Walmart, Target, and Best Buy all had three different versions of the movie.
See, that's just insane to me.
Yeah, that, I mean, because they're, you know, they're just like, people who are like, oh, which version has his shirt off more? That's the one I want. It's sad when they do it to like suspecting people like that.
Well,
but if I was a completist, you know, I'd have to go buy every single one. There's people doing that too, you know.
Yeah.
It's just kind of insane.
Well, it's even worse for video games, Logan, because I had the same, not to get into a video game thing, but I bought, you know, because I'm a huge nerd, right? So I bought Star Trek Online, okay, which is the Star Trek massively multiplayer RPG. I'm not even that into Star Trek. It just seemed like a really cool game. And it is.
Okay.
I was right.
That makes you a nerd, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even like Star Trek. It just seemed cool.
No, I mean, I like Star Trek. But anyway, so whatever version you buy of the game, you know, you can buy it as a disc or you can buy it as a digital download. That's the first two things to look at, right? And with any of these versions from wherever you buy it, every single one has a different bonus thing. So, like, I'm, like, literally combing the internet trying to get confirmation. I'm like, all right, well, I could get Kirk's uniform if I buy it here, or I can get an extra Klingon warship if I buy it here. Or, no, of course, the answer, which I clearly had to go with, was the one where you get the emoticon of him going, Con! So
yes,
I had to get that.
Of course.
But, you know, like, and there was no... comprehensive, like I had to go to like some goofy fan site which had done this research and like provided a giant table of like literally
yes.
like the 30 places you could buy Star Trek and what you got with each one for free as a bonus.
And what they recommend is the best. Because that's usually where I end up. I usually end up with that one really nerdy guy online who actually does the big breakdown and says this one will benefit you the most and it's the coolest.
You had to because you could, like, they're like, oh, well, this comes with this race and this comes with this race, but you have to know beforehand, like, oh, well, this race doesn't have any bonus features or something. Like, it might seem cool, but it's not, you know?
Right.
And, of course, there were people who actually bought the game several times just to get all those bonus features.
You know, we're coming down this now, but in a way it's been going on ever since DVDs came out when people started double-dipping, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's, I guess, you know, just the nature of the beast, perhaps.
It
but
is.
It's disappointing. And I guess it's only really people. You know, there's probably a lot of people listening. Like, so what? But I guess it's only really disappointing for people like us who are completists and we want the most awesome edition possible. I have actually sold old DVDs to buy a new one that has like just one new thing on it.
Yep, me too.
So it's working. They're getting our money, Ryan. So why did they ever stop doing it? I don't know why we're complaining. I think about it.
I mean that they held all the cards because if you want to see this one Mallrats documentary that wasn't on the original DVD, you have to buy Mallrats X.
And, yeah, the Kevin Smith have happened though. So I think there's like 17 versions of Clerks.
To be fair though, no, he doesn't really double dip. Although he does, they do release you know the new version. Like I mean, it was 10 years between versions to be fair, or whatever six. But but yeah, I mean it's like. There's no way to get that without either, if you're lucky, somebody has ripped it and put it on, you know, online if you want to go the illegal route, not that I do, but they might not even have done that if, you know, because, I mean, it's not as popular to rip special features as it is to rip a movie.
Well, listen, the way to do this is to have the company offer something for people. Like, listen, if you already have the other version of the movie and you want this super awesome new bonus disc we made, why don't you just send us like $8 and your proof of purchase or receipt or something like that?
Exactly.
And we'll get it back. We'll get it to you.
Which is what some of these companies are doing for Blu-ray, which I think everyone should for all discs. I mean,
They're doing the trade-in thing, right? If you have the DVD, you can trade it in for the Blu-ray of it.
Right, for like $5 or something, upgrade to the Blu-ray, which I think is great. Like if that, that would encourage a lot of people to do. But they're only doing it for they're not advertising that they're doing it, and they're only doing it for. You know, a set handful of 30 blockbuster movies or something like that.
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh, it's sad. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't mean to get you pulled into all that, but I thought it was interesting. So on the DVD watch / Blu-ray watch, the Wolfman Ryan director's cut and a 30th anniversary edition of Caddyshack
I just added it to my wish list as we speak.
Well, I guess you'll have to watch it for me. And just call, and while you're watching it, tell me everything that's happening.
Like, Bill Murray says he's really great.
I'm like, screw him! What's Chevy doing?
He's not on right now, Logan.
Chevy!
I want to see the 30th anniversary special I want to see is Bill Murray and Chevy Chase in the same room talking about something together.
I almost want to see the two of them doing, like, Ty and Carl years later. Yeah. Like, kind of like the scene in the movie that they had, the one scene that they have together in the movie.
Yeah.
Like if Ty just kind of dropped back by again or something like that. I can almost guarantee you Chevy would do it. And Bill Murray, despite everything he's ever said, would not do it at all.
Yeah, probably.
But who knows?
Oh, well.
I'm sure Harold Ramis would direct, too, now I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in between year two or whatever he's working on.
Yeah, I was about to say, he might add Jack Black in every scene, but that's fine with me, I guess.
This conversation makes me want to go finish the Ghostbusters video game.
Oh, you never finished that?
No, I only got about halfway through. To be honest with you, it's not incredible, but it's worth playing just to hear all the new stuff.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, if you wait long enough, you might be seeing Ghostbusters 3 in theaters around that time, too.
I don't know that I there was a time in my life where I would have been very excited about that, and I feel like, you know, there's a certain level of maturity you reach, I think, where, like, as a little Ryan, I wouldn't care what the circumstances were, how old everybody was, what concessions had to be made. I would want to see a new Ghostbusters or a new Back to the Future or whatever. And now, you know, I'm like, I guess I have, being older, maybe I have more of a sense of legacy. I don't know, where I'm just like, I don't think maybe we don't need another Indiana Jones. We don't need any more Back to the Futures or Ghostbusters. Everything is great how it is.
Well, I remember growing up, you and I were all into another Back to the Future, another Bill and Ted.
Oh, Bill and Ted, though, I'm still all about that.
Hold on, wait. Even at this, I kind of am too, Bill and Ted. But even because, only because it's the part Keanu Reeves was born to play, let's be honest here.
Yeah,
now
I mean,
just use the work.
You can't really ruin that legacy, I don't know. It's not like, you know.
But, you know, growing up, we'd always talk about it. And actually, back then, I know, you know, we look back now, probably think it's not too long ago, but that could be, you know, 10, 15 years ago now. It still might work back then, but I think now, especially where everything's just kind of become ironic, where it's like, you know, we'll do this because we can just cash in on the Hot Topic crowd, which is kind of how I feel Ghostbusters is going. You know, that was before, like, it was really super cool, like, the 80s. Remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Remember those days? Yeah, the 90s, I think they were called?
I think you're thinking of the 90s, yeah.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, I think there was a time when it would have been a good deal, but as you get older, you start to realize, well, you know, I don't want to see this. I want to keep it the way it was in my head. And for me, the big tipping point was Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
When that last Indiana Jones happened, that was it for me. I was like, okay, this cannot happen any further than this. Like, if this is it for it, I'm okay with this whole thing. But if it goes past this, it's only going to be terrible, I think. And that's how I feel about Ghostbusters 3.
And I do stand by the fact that, you know, a new bad movie doesn't hurt the previous good ones. It's just, you really do, at the end of the day, if you're a completist like we are, you look at everything as a whole, and you're like, well, now the series as a whole now goes down in my ratings, you know.
Because it's official, and then I even bought like the 2-disc awesome, super cool edition that was only available at Target. No, I'm kidding. of the new Indiana Jones movie.
Sure.
Just to say, I have them all, and when now every time I watch one, I have to watch them all, and it's usually pretty exciting until I get to the fourth one.
Yeah, it's really our own OCD that's ruining.
Yeah, right. But you know, we're not the only ones like this. This is, you know, a lot of people do this. A lot of people are completists like that, and to be honest, like the people who make movies like this are completists too.
Yeah, and I mean. It's not like Spielberg was like, oh, this is standalone. It's like, here's another entry in a series I did.
Exactly right. Which hopefully will be the last. There's all sorts of rumors flying, but I don't know if they'll ever get around to making another one. I think now that 2 years have passed, people like Harrison Ford are realizing this might have been a mistake.
Well, even Shia LaBeouf has officially apologized, which I really kind of appreciated. Not that I'm saying it's all his fault, but...
No, I was all for it. I thought it was really funny, too.
Yeah.
But I like that he called out the one scene in the movie that I always pointed out to people as being incredibly retarded as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm not for Ghostbusters 3. You know, Ryan, if you read criticaldashin.com, you know that, because we talk about it all the time.
You would know that, although I forgot to post basically all this week. Sorry, everybody. Normally, there would be stuff there.
Huh. Well, that's it for the criticaldashin.com, I guess.
No, sorry.
Also, like us on Facebook.
Yes, like us on Facebook.
I bet you like us in real life, so why not on Facebook?
They have, like... Oh, we should really like do some kind of contest for the 100th person to like us on Facebook.
Oh,
we're up at around 75 now.
You know what? We're still gonna do that.
Okay.
A contest announced soon. It's official, Ryan.
I'm sure it'll take years for it to happen, so we don't have to come up with a prize just now. But
no, get all your. Here's what you do. Okay, here's the secret tip to winning this. Okay, I've done this scam so many times, Ryan. Okay.
I know.
Listen,
you go into Target.
If you're listening to this, listen up. Okay. Uh-huh. Invite all your friends. To like us on Facebook, okay? Mm-hmm. As soon as we get close to like 98 or 99, then you defriend us. Get another friend too. You de-like us. Can you de-like someone on Facebook?
Yeah, you can unlike.
Okay. Like. You dislike us. There you
dislike,
go.
Yeah.
Dislike us. That makes a lot more sense. You get someone else to like us, and then you re-like us as the 100th person. Thus, you win.
You know, this is a complicated contest to win.
Want so many on Facebook right now, Ryan.
Wait, you know what we should do? We should make we shouldn't do some kind of contest where one person wins something. We should say that we're gonna do something when we get to 100. That way, it's like encourages people to join no matter what number they are. So when we get to 100, we'll do something special.
We won't do something special to this, but you want to know something really cool?
We won't do that, but
this is no. This is something really funny. This maybe we can cut this out. But I had to share this with you. I have a friend who's a songwriter on Facebook, right? On his fan page. He does something now. Every Wednesday, he does a wall bomb, where basically he has people pick out random numbers. He has one of his friends pick random numbers, right?
Uh-huh.
So then he will go to that number person on his like list, whoever likes him on his fan page, and he writes a song about that person.
Huh, cute.
And he posts it on their wall. And I think that I actually I was friends with this person, but I wasn't a fan of his page. But I'm now a fan of his page because I secretly hope he'll wall bomb me one of these days. So I can be like, that guy wrote a song about me.
That's awesome.
So we'll come up with some contest like that. So Twitter as well?
Twitter as well. We're Critical End, all one word, without the exclamation point. I think there was some rule about that. So check us out there. We just got a new fan, I think, recently. And also, what did we do? We just talked about Facebook.
Something
about
else.
Oh, the iTunes. Look on iTunes. Search for Critical End, and that's maybe how you're getting this podcast already, but what would be really great is if you could rate or review our podcast, write a one-sentence thing about how awesome we are, and that way we will actually be awesome, because we're only as awesome as you say we are.
Yes. But just pretend like we asked you, do you like us, circle one.
Right.
And always type yes or no.
And your review is just maybe, with 3 stars.
What is that?
But I'll take it.
Oh, you'll take it.
To the bank.
The bank, cash it to Target. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm off to Target, Ryan.
All right, well, have a good time, Logan, and I'll see you not next week, but in maybe tomorrow or so, because we're kind of doubling up here this week. We have 2 episodes this week.
Yes, can we tease them with what's coming next?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, it'd be cool if we could just play the theme song, but I'm sure it's highly copyrighted. Kevin McCloud doesn't have a version of that. Is that Kevin McCloud? Wow, he sounds like you humming, kind of. But no. Stay tuned for in a few days, reviewing the A-Team. I don't want to wait.
For my life to be over.
That was the A-Team, right? I think so.
The A-Team right now. Mr. T's voice changed late in life.
Yes.
I think that's a little known fact about him.
Okay. I'm already, Brian, this movie can already not be perfect because it doesn't have Mr. T in it.
Oh, come on, Logan. I hope it does. I'm sure he has a cameo.
He might, but he's spoken out against the movie, so it'd be kind of
weird.
Oh,
he has?
Yeah. I'll send you a link if you want to see it.
Now I'm super depressed. I was really excited about this movie until a second ago.
Oh, you were hoping some fools would be pitied.
Yeah.
But now you're the only fool that will be pitied for this
film. Why is he spoken out against it?
I don't know, because it's a remake and he's not in it. And the same reason William Shatner was like, Star Trek's stupid. Who likes Star Trek? Not me. I was in Star Trek.
Well, he did say all that. That is a great quote. Right. All right. Well, we'll see if this T-less A-team has anything to say about itself in a couple days.
I'll see you then.
Okay. Bye, Logan.
Bye.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.